A miracle of miracles. Luther calls it that Joseph doesn't lose hope, that Joseph doesn't lose faith, that Joseph doesn't give in to temptation in a shameful and wicked sin. It is a miracle of miracles. Let's not forget that Joseph was just a young man. He was just 17 years old when his brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites. We are not told how old Joseph was by the time he rose to prominence in the house of Potiphar. But let's say that he celebrated a birthday here and there, somewhere along the line. Let's assume he is in his late teens or early 20s. We know that he is a handsome fellow, and we also know that he was the kind of character and faith and wisdom that few men of any age possess. The devil is attacking Joseph on two different fronts. On the one hand, the devil is tempting him to doubt and despair and defeat, leading him to conclude that he has just been forgotten and forsaken by God, even as he was betrayed by his own brothers. How easy it would have been for Joseph to abandon the faith he had been taught by his father. How easy would it have been to give in to despair and depression or to be consumed by hatred for his betraying brothers? As if that wasn't enough, his boss's wife is trying to seduce him on a daily basis. It would have been so easy to give in to that temptation. So easy for Joseph to justify a casual sexual involvement. What harm would there be? Who would Eve ever know? Luther expressed it this way: Joseph spurns and rejects an opportunity so convenient and so full of safety, power, favor, and pleasure. But Joseph does not waver or conceals the truth. He calls adultery what it is. He calls sexual immorality what it is. He says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" From where does Joseph, this young man Joseph, get this strength and clarity of character? How does he so clearly make distinction between right and wrong in the midst of all that he's living in? Please keep in mind, he's got no sixth commandment to draw upon, no catechism to consult, no pastor to preach to him. The two tablets of stone and Mount Sinai and Moses are still over 450 years in the future. And Luther's small catechism is more than 3,000 years down the line. Nor can Joseph just crack open his Bible for strength and guidance to sustain his time of trial. There was no Bible written yet. All Joseph has is the law of God written in his heart and the promises of God passed down from his father. And yet, with only those little crumbs to draw upon, miracle of miracles, faith reigns in the heart of this young man. 2,000 years before the Apostle Paul would implore the Christians at Corinth to flee from sexual immorality because their bodies were temples of the Holy Spirit, Joseph fled from sexual immorality, recognizing that this body and his body was a temple of the Holy Spirit. This has all been written down and recorded for you. It's being preached and proclaimed for you because the temptations of sexual immorality and adultery are everywhere today. Potiphar's wife, with her promises of sex and sin without consequences, she's everywhere. She's on your television screen, on your computer screen. She's in your phone. Your phone that never leaves your side and happily hides all your secrets. The devil never quits. He never eases up. He never stops seeking to violate your chastity and destroy your faith. And so this episode from the life of Joseph comes to confront us here tonight. And we know that this episode is true, that it really happened because of the Bible's brutal honesty. Because Joseph's great faith and his steadfast refusal to sin, because Joseph's great faith and his steadfast refusal to sin did not result in a round of applause and awards and promotions. It did not. Instead, what happened? No good deed goes unpunished. Things go from bad to worse. Out of the frying pan and into the fire. And Joseph descends into the hell of prison. If that's what happened to Joseph, whose faith and life were above reproach in every way, should not we expect far worse? With our faltering faith and our sin-filled lives, we should indeed expect nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Were it not for our new and greater Joseph. Jesus is our new and greater Joseph. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus took on the temptations of 1,000 wives of Potiphar, and never, ever took the bait. Never did what would have been convenient or easy and pleasurable. And why not? Because he battled temptation for you as your sacred substitute. Where you fail, he succeeds. Where you stumble, he stands firm. Where you are weak, he is strong. And miracle of miracles, Jesus undertakes a great exchange with you. He takes your guilt and gives you his innocence. He bears your sin and absolves you of everything. He drinks deeply from the cup of God's wrath against your sin, so that you might sample the sweet wine that is his blood once shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. He takes your punishment and dies your death so that you might die to sin and rise again to life everlasting. Just like Joseph, Jesus humbled himself and made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a slave. Just like Joseph, Jesus went around doing good in all things, preaching the gospel, casting out demons, cleansing lepers, giving sight to the blind, feeding the hungry, calming the storms, and even raising the dead. But for Jesus, like Joseph, there would be no round of applause or awards or promotions. No good deed go unpunished for this good man. Shouts of Hosanna would give way to cries of crucifixion. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. One of his own betrays him with a kiss. So he goes for Jesus. So he goes for Joseph. So he goes for you. When Jesus, like Joseph, takes on temptation, it is for you. When Jesus, like Joseph, takes on temptation, it is for you. This world will little note nor longer remember the times when you stand firm against temptation. When you, by the grace of God, lead a sexually pure and decent life in what you say and do. When you say no to sin and yes to the Lord Jesus, who loves you and gave himself for you, the angels may be rejoicing, but their cheers won't reach your ears. Luther says, you must never hope the world will acknowledge your faithfulness and diligence, for it does the opposite. Like Joseph, your good conduct couldn't even land you in prison or worse. But miracle of miracles, you are precious to our Lord Jesus Christ. In holy baptism, he has made you his. Your body, he has made your body a temple of the Holy Spirit. So you belong to the Lord. Your body and soul, all of them redeemed by Christ the crucified. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.